When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are very excited to have a lot of dudes with us today. But we have some fun guests. Dad, do you want to introduce us? I mean, we've got Ben. He's been with us.
Ben.
We know Ben. Ben's the new guest.
Ben's with us.
But we have another special guest.
We do. We have Dave Hill, who has flown in this morning from England, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
No. Okay. Well, not. He. You'll hear him, and then you'll know right away that he's from Reading. And he is the children's pastor at Bethel Church in Reading. He's also the founder and developer of HeartSmart and Boris the Robot and all of that. And he'll tell us plenty in there. Off camera is his lovely, so happy to be here, wife Jules. But there was just no more room at this table.
We had her
sitting on his lap, but that was just, she kept bumping the microphone.
We know this is a family show, but it was so crosses
the back. Is this a first for people?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Right. This is our first quad. Yes. So welcome, Dave.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's amazing to be here.
It's awesome to have you.
I see all this great stuff happening around this table. I've just... I was waiting for the invite.
Yep.
So thank you so much.
A year and a half later, we got right
I
on it.
I ran out of guests, I hear.
That's it.
It's my turn.
We're down to Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, I think you're number three of guests. So.
Yeah. Okay. You got a bronze.
You still get a bronze.
I'm pretty sure you said that to someone else, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
The last 10 guests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben's our gold medalist.
Well.
That's it.
I'm not sure if I'm a guest anymore.
Yeah.
I'm doing the dishes at this point.
That's true.
But I just found out that Ben made the table.
It's true.
Which is just amazing.
That might be the first time I've shared that on here. So, cat's out of the bag.
Well, I'm happy to break that news. Thank you.
Leave it to our guests.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. I speak English.
Yes.
This is how it's supposed to sound.
Oh, ouch.
Shots fired.
Woof. We have like all the variety. We need a South African up here. We have a South African up here. We could cover this.
We at least have the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Canada, we need some.
Yes, come on.
But, there we go.
All right. Well, we should ask some questions because we're just going to laugh the whole time. And everyone's what is going on? So my dad mentioned HeartSmart. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what that is? Because nobody really knows what that is, I don't think.
It's true. Unless you're in an elementary school or a primary school that's doing HeartSmart, you would know. But it's an emotional health, a relational health resource. We've kind of about 400 or 500 schools around the world have used it. I say around the world because England and then America.
Mm.
And actually, we do have a couple of schools in Australia.
There we go. That's around the world. That's
it.
It's around the world.
Southern Hemisphere.
We did it.
Congratulations.
That's it.
We just need South Africa now.
I know. If you're watching from South Africa, we're just waiting for you, basically.
Please join us.
They're waiting to... it's a resource that helps children to... We're in a lot of public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
We can't talk about the person of love,
mm-hmm.
but we can talk about aligning with love. And we talk about how love and fear are competing for the hearts of children. Can you guess where I got that?
Whoa. This is starting to sound familiar.
I was on my own in a room.
Download from heaven.
Reading a book by someone.
God sounds just like Danny Silk.
Yeah. And so we have these five key values. First of all, we have a character, main character, Boris the Robot.
Nice.
Yes.
So Boris is made from trash.
Mm.
In England, we say rubbish,
mm-hmm.
and but we made American market, so we changed that word, trash and garbage.
Yes.
And he sometimes listens to the scrap man's voice who says, you've been made from trash, you are trash.
Oh. Mm.
And so he's learning to listen to a different voice, the voice of the father and the brother and sister that made him, and say, Boris, you have been made from trash, but you're not trash.
Oh, that's sneaky.
Sneaky.
Mm, very sneaky. No. So good.
See what we did there?
We did.
I read that somewhere else.
Yes. Exactly. So we're teaching Boris to receive compassion, to tune into a different internal dialogue. And so he's the main character. Mm. And then, I spent a lot of time in Boris's shed talking with Boris about that. And then we have these five key values. So first of all, don't forget to let love in. Mm-hmm. So the first idea that actually we, you know, and the idea of like we could just push on through or just grit or just we just have strength all by ourselves isn't actually realistic. We have to receive something that we haven't yet got, and that is love. Mm. So don't forget to let love in. Mm-hmm. And so it's not self-help. It's acknowledging blessed are the poor in spirit. Mm. Actually, we acknowledge we do have a need for someone.
Yeah.
We have a need for love. So don't forget to let love in. Too much selfie isn't healthy.
Mm. That so, is.
Well, put your phone down.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Amen yeah. to that.
My kids tell me that.
Yeah. That ain't healthy.
Yeah, like, I'm supposed to tell you that, but they tell me. Yeah. And then don't hold on to what's wrong. You can't make a powerful decision in the future if you're held on to kind of pain in the past, hurtful memories in the past. Fake is a mistake, that love and truth, they go together. Love should travel a little bit faster than truth, but truth has to be there in order for love to be a true, meaningful relationship. And so how do we help children not tune into the voice of shame? I'm sorry, I use my hands a lot. I keep hitting the microphone. Is that okay?
You're all right.
Yeah, we're not listening.
Okay. Go ahead. well, it's good truth. I mean, that's what we're about, right?
She has your microphone turned off anyway.
This is perfect.
Nobody's bothered.
My wife's listening. Yeah. I think she's out there somewhere. And then no way through isn't true. Mm-hmm. That actually, that love always gives birth to hope. And no way through isn't true. So they're the five key values.
And these are like character building methods that you're using in schools all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes there's
South Africa.
Except for South Africa, exactly. Other than that. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's just beautiful.
Thank you. I think sometimes when people think about character, they think of a list of virtues.
Sure.
But actually, I think aligning with love and the spirit that you're of is you can guess where I got that from.
Yeah. The Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. Mm-hmm. But you helped unpack it a little bit for me. So
I got it from the Bible. Yeah. I don't know where you got it. Yeah. Just so good.
Yeah. So I know a little bit of backstory in you got a hold of Keep Your Love On. Mm-hmm. And what were you doing before Boris showed up in your life? Like, well, how did you, why would you pick children? Why would that be the tug on your heart that you feel like you're supposed to be?
I think there was several things. One was I was a children's pastor in some children's pastor now in Bethel, but I was a children's pastor in the UK.
I'm trying to see which is better, what
England,
United States.
He'll be in Australia next.
Probably
not South Africa. I'll be too old by the time they're ready for me. Maybe, but,
well, you're only what, 22?
Oh, thank you. You say all the right things. I moisturize daily.
Yeah,
if you're wondering, 45.
45.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Six. Yeah. I hope you're surprised if you're watching. So I was a children's pastor. I was also, there's a friend who was a motivational speaker, and he asked me to do his, do his sessions in schools. And so I ended up training teachers in emotional intelligence and growth mindset in the UK school. So I ended up understanding a little bit about the educational landscape. Okay. And I also worked in TV production. And so those kind of three things together. But, meant that this was always going to be the place in which I kind of directed my attention. But also my wife, Jules, she had a breakdown. And so I saw that she was working really hard to fight for truth in areas of her life, which she just hadn't grown up in. Mm. And I've always dedicated Heart Smart to an 8-year-old Jules. Mm. And so what it looked like for children out there to be able to experience and hear a different narrative from what they've been told.
That's awesome.
Well, you just went from making us die laughing to crying.
Whoa, that was a hard shift. Yeah.
Clever.
Wow. Yeah.
Thank that's you. A beautiful thing. And I guess that's probably got to be a big fuel for you to keep chasing after what you see as, you know, Jules had to conquer. And, and I mean, I know you have two little girls.
Yes.
So I'm sure that they enjoy having Boris be part of their life. And what is that like growing up with Boris the robot who's in your garage?
They so they're now 12 and 11, so they used to love it. Uh-huh. And
well, there we go.
They still do. They might not admit it, but they still really like it. They like the kind of inner workings, getting to see how Boris works.
I'm sure it's a different love for it now.
It is.
It's a more maturing appreciation.
But they had a real They had a real kind of love for, they kind of knew the inner secrets, which is something that they really
That's
loved.
That's always yeah. very fun.
Yes. Am I allowed to share who the voice of Boris is? Or maybe if there's any children watching this.
Spoiler alert.
The voice of Boris is Jules. So funny. It was conversations between me and Jules in the kitchen over and over and over again. Kind of became conversations with me and Jules as Boris in the shed. It's kind of a beautiful
That is a beautiful thing. A beautiful culture that you've created for your family, which is pretty fun think about. I love that. I know that Lincoln really loves Boris because he got a special video from Boris the Robot.
Happy birthday. Well,
his birthday fell in April of 2020, and it was a very lonely birthday that year. Oh. And that's when you sent a video for him, and I showed him that morning. He's like, how does he know my name? That's all I remember.
That's so cute.
It was very cute. So. But yeah, got another question for him?
Yeah, I think we're in this series right now on family culture, and you know, you're bringing a bit of a different perspective and thoughts to it, but same heart and goal, really, right? I think you know with your experience, so the children's ministry in England, and then all the things you're describing, and then now here at Bethel, I would love to hear kind of your perspective on families building their own culture from the pastoral perspective. So you're more of a partner. You know, the thing we hear often and we have for years is it's not the church's job to build the child or produce some spiritual something in the child. That's the family's job. It's the church's job to partner with them.
So good.
But there's often this thing that happens where, you know, parents kind of hand their kids over and so, and, you know, this experience of, will you do this for us?
Yes.
So I'd just love to hear kind of the family culture perspective from your seat.
There's not lots on children's ministry in the Bible. So Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And this commandment I give you today is to be upon your hearts. Parents, impress this upon your children. But I love that sentence, parents, impress this upon your children. And I think it's no matter the good stuff, the bad stuff, the intention towards the absence is all impressed upon children. And who we are is impressed upon our children. And so the verse goes on and it talks about, you know, talk about your faith as you walk along the road, as you sit down, as you lie down at night. And so there's just that kind of, there's some guidelines for what it looks like to truly articulate and impress upon children. And so it is, I do see that is... I actually think it's both the children's pastor's role, but it's also a school's role to partner alongside families. But at the same time, you know, back in England, I know there's kind of similar things here, about 50 years ago, kids would come to school malnourished. And so they ended up giving free milk. And then they ended up giving some free meals. And so schools actually often say, well, social emotional learning or emotional health isn't necessarily something the school should do. But if the child is hungry, they can't learn. If the child is kind of got so much trauma in here that they can't listen. And it's the same in church. So there is that thing of what do we do? Do we just go, well, there's a lack. It's not really our responsibility. And so everything we can do to give the parents tools and to equip parents and to help them know there's a lot of great stuff you can impress upon your children. It's like that for me is always the number one message as a children's pastor. But yet at the same time to go, well, we have your child with us right now. What can we do too? So I think exactly like you shared, Ben, it's both and.
I think
interestingly for schools, more and more schools are seeing how do we build a the relationship with parents and what can we do to kind of equip them, because they know that even on academic learning, so much happens in the home.
I think that's what we've been on a journey so much the last couple of years with education with our kids is finding a school that truly believes in a partnership with the family. And you know, I'm really grateful for it, and I think what you're doing is phenomenal. And I was in children's ministry for years. I mean, I didn't have your role, but I would have been one of your teammates had we still been there.
Yes,
you missed out, I'm sorry. But you know, it is such a struggle, especially if you have families that have a desire to produce family culture, but they don't know how to steward it. Like, how do you feel like you're able to give those practical tools to these families? Like, how are you helping families in their culture?
Yeah, I think one thing, one of the great things that we can do is we can tell stories. And so parents sometimes know more the Bible than they think. I mean, even if there's just one Bible story, it's nothing quite like you can sit down and read a Bible story, but actually telling a Bible story from memory, read it maybe beforehand, I think it's just a beautiful thing. And there's, I honestly think one of the most beautiful sights in the world is when a child just postures their heart to listen to a Bible story being told. And if there's no images, sometimes you get to see that. And that's just a beautiful thing. And so I think that's just one great thing that we as a family, it was about a year ago, we spent about 4 months kind of going through the Bible, just seeing how many stories we could remember, and we kind of told them. And that was just, sometimes we do like this nighttime routine of kind of tucking in our kids and praying, and it can end up feeling quite flat. You're like, okay, what do you want to pray for? Couldn't really think of anything. And you're like, okay.
More dessert.
Lord, you just bless them. What's that Ephesians prayer again? I'd just be like, you could just kind of pray the same thing over and over. But when you tell a Bible story, suddenly it opens a whole dialogue of different things to pray about. Great.
Yeah. That's what I remember you doing.
Totally.
I mean, I can still remember those moments going to bed as a child and him stories.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I used to just buy books. Mm-hmm. We bought that picture Bible.
Bible.
It's this thick.
It's white cover. It's this thing.
Yeah. It's got the little cartoons
in
there.
We have it upstairs for our kids.
We told so many Bible stories. But then as they grew up, I remember telling stories about amazing missionaries and revivalists. I found this series of books, and so I would just sit and ran, and we would just tell stories about his name,
William Branham.
I pulled that out of just out of my memory, but the stories that were in that book were I want to say Elliot. It was either his first name or his last name, but it was a name. But he was a missionary that went out into this, you know, unreached area, and they killed him.
Wow.
You know, you're like, wow. But the story leading up to it was just phenomenal. I wasn't trying to scare the children. I was just,
stay well, kids.
But we were trying to talk about, you know, like this is stuff you give your life for. This isn't just, you know, stuff you go to church for. And this isn't just stuff that's going to work out great for you. You know, if you're a Christian, your life's going to be easier. It's like, no, this it could very well end up in you giving everything.
It's beautiful.
In a weird way, it's beautiful, but it's biblical. Yeah.
But I think even sharing some of our faith journeys and our stories too, just the idea that this is the Bible story wasn't a book which is now finished with. It's we get to live in in God's story now. We can be part of it.
My kids always wanted me to tell them stories of when I got a spanking when I was little.
It's true.
Dad, tell us a story when you got a spanking.
Do it again, God. Do it again.
Children.
Yeah, that's the funny stuff.
Yeah.
Who beat you up?
you know, just going back to something that you said earlier about, you know, when the school or the church, you know, they feel they interface with the children who are malnourished, you know, or abused or whatever in that earlier, you know, concept of the church and the schools taking care of your children. I mean, that's the kind of the danger of not leading your family culture is that someone else will notice that there is a void there and they'll fill it.
That's right.
And that's how, you know, that's how all this is getting, you know, like when you drop the hose in the mud puddle, if it's off, the hose gets full of mud. Mm. But if the hose is on, the puddle gets full of water, you know, and that's what you're trying to do is you're trying to keep the offense going, you know, the light is on for your children. So when they go into these darker places, they are impacting that instead of being brainwashed or being groomed to be someone that their family doesn't recognize and they don't recognize as their family.
That's right.
I would, just on that point right there, I was going to ask kind of both of you, does it feel true that one of the experiences of it watching or things that comes up is parents that often don't feel equipped.
Don't know where to start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they hear that and they go, I want that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what to do from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I think one of the greatest truths is that God is always with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so being present is just enormous. I remember our, my eldest was probably about 3, maybe 4, and my youngest, a year younger, so three or four, or two or three. My math is not too bad.
I was noticing that. I wasn't going to point it out.
Wait. Four. And I just remember being downstairs and just hearing this kind of screaming noise. I wouldn't do it into the mic, but it's kind of screaming noise, and then it was off. And then screaming noise, and then it was off. And so I kind of went upstairs, and I could just hear my eldest, who's definitely a teacher at heart, was like, God is always with us. Yes, even in the dark. Yes, even in the dark. And then she turned the light out. My youngest would go. And she's like, no.
Hey, I'm leading you to your faith.
This is an object lesson here, okay? Yeah. Now you need to be with me.
It went on for ages. It was so fun. She's like, God's with us. I'm going, okay, God's with us. Even in the dark. Yeah, but don't do that. And so it just went on and on. But it's just this profound truth that God is with us. And I read this phrase, Emmanuel, Shalom, just Emmanuel, God is always with us. Mm. Shalom, the peace that comes from that. I think one thing we can do is we can be present.
That's
with
great.
Our kids. Yeah. So
I think being present requires that we put away the to-do list as a parent. I was listening to a book and they were just talking about if, you know, sharing roles with the family and kind of getting this responsibility built in. 7 habits. You'll be so excited that I...
What?
I know. But he's just talking about how, who wants to be responsible for the buying the food, paying the bills, and he goes through all these things, and all of a sudden mom and dad have a 60-hour work week. And I think that that's what gets our attention as parents, is the mountain of to-do minimizes how easy it is to just be like 5 minutes of that, you know, attention and that purpose and that being present lasts and makes such a deposit in our kids.
So true.
That's good.
And it is hard though, because the to-dos feel like they are urgent and they have to be attended to. Mm. When I mean, we give 5 minutes to Instagram, we give 20 minutes to whatever it is, and then we no longer have that 5 minutes. Mm. So it does feel like a discipline to you know, put your money where your mouth is. Are you really trying to create a culture that's stewarding something? Mm. And I think all the time parents are like, well, where do you even start on having a, you know, developing this spiritual journey with your kids? And I love that you said it's telling a story. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be this, okay, we need to set the stage. We need Brian and Jen, come on in. Okay, we're going to, Torvalds, I want you to come in and we're going to, everyone be quiet and close your eyes, put your hands out. And that's how this is, it has to happen. It's usually very messy and disorganized, which kind of feels like how God is anyways. He doesn't really like to do it the way we want to.
Stories are like magic. I mean, I have to say...
Well, we don't say magic.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Supernatural gifts from the...
Yeah, they're good.
Easier.
We can cut that magic way out, right?
Just didn't want anybody...
They're like hocus pocus.
No. Yeah, you don't have to read the comments, okay? We have to read the comments.
Yeah, I finish here, I'm out. And then you guys have to do the rest.
So what's your magic that you're going to talk about?
Stories. It's just, it's incredible. I mean, I've, as a family, we've tried a little bit of the kind of, hey, let's have a little prayer time. Mm-hmm. To be honest, just getting Jules to keep quiet.
She is here. We can give her the microphone to defend herself.
She'll defend herself in a minute.
But she's saying cut. But stories are incredible. And that's one of the things I kind of say with the team in children's ministry, just tell a story, tell a Bible story, tell your story, tell a Bible story, tell your story. And just, it is like a word which is not magic, but the kids just are just so engaged. They suddenly are captivated. They're like, wait, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I'm totally listening. Mm-hmm. And you have about 2 sentences after that to bring a teach. And then tell another story or you've lost them. Yeah. Or an object lesson.
Yes.
Because stories are just incredible. They're a gift.
Jesus did that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where
that's
get it from.
Point.
Jesus used magic.
Oh, we're going to get ourselves in trouble.
It's Dave. It's Dave sitting too close to me.
I had no idea about that. Yeah. One thing I was going to say, actually, sometimes teachers kind of, there might be, I was just thinking that you may have kind of Christian teachers watching that might be thinking, gosh, how could I possibly make a difference? Because they see a kid coming and they know the home they come from. Mm-hmm. But there was this recent study in the power of oxytocin, the love hormone, and cortisol, adrenaline, and just about how a teacher just being one safe place can release oxytocin, and how on a biological level oxytocin will actually drive out cortisol and adrenaline from a cell, which is like a biological way of saying love drives that fear. Mm-hmm. So just, I think, just a recent study, I think it was about 10 years ago, just saying that actually just one safe place, one safe teacher can make a real big difference in a child's life.
Yeah, and there's, you know, a bunch of that in Bernie's new book.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, loving our students on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Where did she get that?
Available from Morgan's
bookstore. You guys.
She was reading the same book that Dave was reading. You know, the Bible.
In children's ministry at Bethel, with my team, what I used to tell them, something very similar. I said, you don't know who that child is. Mm. You know where they come from, but you don't know who they're created to be.
That's beautiful.
So let's speak to them as if they're the next Billy Graham.
Wow.
And so that's what, I mean, because we would get these kids off the bus, their parents would come for breakfast or different things or different events that Bethel does, and they bring in kids that are from the shelters, different stuff like that. And, you know, they don't look polished like some of the other kids that are coming in there in their Sunday best. And they usually require more attention, and they're usually making more messes. And our patience is wearing thin. But if you can inspire the vision for them, your team, to say, can you look past that and see what it is that God's going to do? You know, that hope is that the deposit that we're able to make in an hour that we have them, you know, actually plants a seed that you never know if it'll impact the culture later.
Right.
So
amazing. I mean, I love that. I'm going to steal that.
Okay.
And it's true across the board. You know, I mean, it's hopefully there's a community in a church, there's a community in the school, and everybody understands what's important to each of the cultures. And when we cooperate, communicate, build relationships with the leaders of the school, the leaders of the church, the leaders of the families, then we can get on the same page. Mm-hmm, yeah. And we can, in concert, we can set our children up for success in pursuing you know, kingdom values and a kingdom culture. So I think when we talk about creating a family culture, because it's the primary responsibility of the parents. The school and the church are partners.
Right.
You know, they're assists. They're not supplies. You know, they're not it's not their responsibility. And then the parent, when they get around to it, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to send you to school all day long. I'm going to send you to school. That really becomes a very chief culture provider. And then when the school has the spirit of the world and your child has a phone, I don't know, if you don't have a plan as a parent, you're living in the front yard. You're it's not true. Even living in the house anymore.
It's true.
You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is this. So, you know, with all of the new things that are coming out, I know you have younger age kids that you're working with, but technology's got to be a climbing influence, younger and younger and younger. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
In your world, and what is your? Do you have parents asking you questions like, "What do you do with these younger age kids navigating technology?"
Yeah, I mean, I'm figuring it out for R2 too, just to say. But I think one thing is, how do you help a child if there's no limits at home?
Yeah.
How do you help them to have some kind of limits? And so, I just don't know if that even works, to be honest, but we've tried. Like, hey, it's good to have screen time and non-screen time. Well, I don't know if it's good to have screen time. It's good to have non-screen time and have screen time limits. But teaching boundaries and limitations for children that haven't ever experienced that is really tough. Yeah, I think you have to fight much harder. I think COVID also affected children. And are we bored talking about that yet? COVID, the pandemic. But I think it's...
I just caught the shutdown. I just caught the shutdown. Yeah.
But it's... I think we have to fight harder for children's attention, which brings us back to that story thing. But I think it is just you have to fight harder for it. And so we work really hard at helping children. When as soon as they come in, they feel they have choice. They feel they have different things that they can do, people they can connect with, both their peers and leaders, and then we have a very engaging kind of stage time just to kind of to pull them in. But we work really hard at the engagement level.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've always had to work as hard as you have to work right now. So I don't know if that's to do with screens, if that's to do with the shutdown.
I would
shutdown.
Say so.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, the attention span is, I mean, on our socials, we always talk about we've got like 3 seconds to get you captivated. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you move on. Mm. So if that's an adult, is it half of that for a child?
1.5.
Do you come out in a giant costume with lots of color?
That's the picture I just had in
my head. That was happening.
I saw a banana walking out.
I've never dressed up as a banana. Well, friend has once.
Okay.
Yeah, we had this really, we thought it was a really great joke, actually. We were going to do a sketch about Narnia. Mm. And then he jumped in. And he said, "Hey, I'm ready." I said, "What are you doing?"
Banana.
Said, yeah, I thought he said, "Do you want to be in Narnia? Be a Nana." Anyway, it was the funniest joke ever for us.
Yes.
It kind of landed.
Yeah, well, when you don't say you're ours.
That hurt me as well.
You got it.
Yeah.
No, that's funny.
To all the people in South Africa, I'm sorry.
What do you feel like is, when you work with schools, what is the problem that you're chasing after to solve?
Hmm. I think it's actually very different. The UK schools are run very differently from US schools.
Okay. And we have an international following, so you can do both if you want.
I think one thing for sure is there's lots of pressures, lots of things kind of required. So assessment levels and gradings, or there's just so many different things that they're expecting to teach kids. Mm-hmm. And so there can be that pressure. And we know, as you kind of already said, that the to-do list, and as soon as you have those kind of to-do lists, your priorities are, wait, what am I trying to do here? And so I think, right, the word education comes from the word educe, which means kind of two things, one to lead out and one to draw out. It's funny that they're kind of both the same. So one is, I'm going to show you something, the lead out, and then one is draw out. I believe there's something in you that actually hasn't yet
been developed,
and so I'm going to draw that out. And so that's only an environment of love can do that. Mm-hmm. And so we still have this kind of pretty standard model where we'll kind of batch you according to year groups usually. Mm-hmm. And we just have to get through this, mm-hmm. get to this standard. And there's only one answer, and it's at the back, and don't look, don't do collaborative working. And so there's just a whole lot of pressures which are actually still with a slightly what feels like an older system. Mm. But by and large, I think it's just the same thing. There's just, if there's pressures and if it's not like, actually, hang on, what is going on in the heart of each child and how do we do that? So even just, I sometimes teach, a lot of teachers that I've spoken to here in the US are familiar with the love languages, mm-hmm. but not so much in the UK. Okay. And but that's just been a really helpful tool, like just putting a hand on the shoulder of a child that's, how does that make you feel, Ben? Does that make you feel?
Just leave it there.
Yeah.
He's touch lover. So you're filling his cup.
But just that kind of like, I value you more than your results, the connection over the content. And so just that is a kind of clear message no matter what. But I mean, for out of interest, the UK is very driven by, did we check this box? Mm-hmm. Did we tick this box? And so there's a new piece of a thing required from schools called the Relationship and Health Education Guidelines. I say it's new, it's about 2 years in England. And so that's actually really great, really great stuff.
Great for your business.
Yeah, it's great for my business. Yeah, but it's also just, it's generally a lot of really good kind of, how do we have relational health in schools? But actually, I think it's really great kind of guidelines. And so we kind of check every box there. Up until that point, we were just trying to, hey, do you care about building character in your kids?
Yeah.
Do you care about character rather than compliance? Do children make the same choice when you leave the room?
Yeah.
Otherwise, is it just compliance? Does that matter to you? And so we'd sell through vision, whereas now we kind of go, hey, we'd love to resource you with this. But the American market is kind of very different, kind of getting a different handle on it. We're both in Christian schools and non-Christian schools, but
That's amazing. So if we've got teachers listening or different people that are leading in education, how do they get your stuff? Because we didn't exactly say how. We talked about it was, but how?
Thank you for asking that, because I'm terrible at doing this. But
it's my job. So you pay me big bucks. Put it on my notes.
So you go to heartsmarttv.com.
Heartsmarttv.com.
Yeah, heartsmart.
Heartsmarttv.com. For all of you.
All the translations.
H-O-T.
Ben, do you want to have a go?
I'm going to sound all I can, so heartsmart.
There you go.
I turned around a little bit there, but...
What do you offer at heartsmarttv.com?
So we have...
Because if I'm a parent and I'm like listening to this going, how do I get this to my children? I'm not in education at all, but I want it in my home. Is that available?
Yes, it is actually. Thank you for asking that too. You're welcome. I'm definitely getting your coffee up. we have four different versions.
Okay.
So we have a Christian and a non-Christian version. Well, it's not non-Christian, just there's no Bible verses in it. There's no Bible references. So
this is what Lincoln told Banning. No more Jesus. He was tired of going to church. He was going to church.
He's afraid to go to Jesus culture. We got to go back to Jesus culture. So they pull up to the building. He looks. He goes, no more Jesus.
Don't worry, guys. He's fully saved. He loves Jesus.
Good.
This is what made me
just
think
to say, I've heard that story, and I even now say no more Jesus for a joke. And then I have to tell that story to clarify. It's such
said the children's pastor.
So you have a Christian and non-Christian, or biblical and non-biblical.
Yes. And then we have a UK version and a US version of both. And so, or US and rest of the world. So we spell things wrong for that one. we still
you put the U back in honor.
Of course we do.
And color.
And favor and all those kind of things. Yeah, and color, mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we have, so the Department of Education has a whole lot of guidelines, which I mentioned. So we kind of do all that for the UK, which makes no sense for the US. And so, and actually the US, we actually have all these videos on both, but the US market love the videos more than the UK. Mm-hmm. They just love the teaching the lessons, the kind of written lessons a bit more.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So you have all of that available. Like, if, as a parent, I could get the videos. I could get a curriculum or something.
As parents, you can do a kind of a homeschool.
Okay.
Kind of
thing.
Thank you for asking that. I kind of forgot. You're good at this. I need to work. I've been told I need to work on this. But yeah, we have a version just so homeschoolers can use it too.
Okay, that's great. And then I'm guessing for anyone in education, I mean, I don't know the United States requirements, or is there any kind of?
There actually aren't. There's health standards, but they're not required. Mm-hmm. That's in California. It's required to have a plan for school climate.
Okay.
And so, how do you build a healthy school climate? And so, although it's a curriculum, it is more of a culture resource. It's more like how do you teach a healthy culture? How do you help? And so obviously the teacher, you can't have a healthy culture in a classroom if the main culture provider is not super healthy. And so we have video that helps, but ultimately you kind of spend some time kind of teaching teachers. But yeah, we work with a few public schools, and that's how they've kind of justified the funding for it, which is school climate.
That's awesome. I love it. I really do. I think more and more we seem to be inching our way into different forms of education. Bernie's book.
Yes.
We work with our kids' school. It's called Valor Global Online, which I'm so grateful for, which maybe I'll put in a good word for you there. Yeah. See what we can arrange.
And you've got two copies.
yeah. Maybe even three. Maybe I should do a monthly subscription.
I'll spread them out. One a day.
But it is, I think, you know, my experience in children's ministry, I was never the lead pastor, but I think the hope that I keep hearing you bring to so many of these families is that it's more doable and something that they can apply sooner than what they're probably creating in their mind to foster a spiritual culture that they want to develop in their kids.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
I think the key that I heard you give away today that just feels so simple, but what Bernie's saying, like, we can do it today, is to just become present. Mm-hmm. Just be present with your kids. And that's probably for teachers and leaders and parents and all that, but just it just feels so simple but profound. Just hearing you say that today, like, just the simple act of, for parents, putting your phone down, putting down the to-do list for a moment. Mm-hmm. Like, my son's probably the best example. When I just spend a few moments with him doing something he loves, he says thank you like four or five times. Mm-hmm. Oh. And he's just like, Dad, thanks for spending time with me.
That's beautiful.
Buddy, I love it, but I'm glad it's working. The message is being received. But I think it does go a longer way than we often think it's going to. Mm-hmm. You know, this 15 minutes of intentionality of being present is something that they didn't have before that. So
exactly.
Just to kind of key in on that phrase and that key you're giving away today. Mm. I think especially for families asking that question, we keep bringing up, where do I start? Mm-hmm. That's a great thing you do today.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I think sometimes, I mean, life looks different often from what we think it's going to look like, doesn't it?
Always.
And we have challenges that we didn't want to have, didn't think we were going to have. I would often come home. I did ask Jules if I could share this beforehand, but I'd often come home and Jules would be crying on the kitchen floor, mm-hmm. and two girls would be kind of beside themselves, and I would think, wow, I didn't ever really want my kids to experience this, and I couldn't shelter them from it. And so at that point, you have to trust that God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. And Jules has so courageously kind of gone off to her healing. But there were just moments which were just like real crisis, and you wouldn't. And so what do you do in those moments where you can be present for them, you can pray, you can just trust the Lord that he will somehow work his, I was going to say magic again. work his sovereignty. He will redeem all things, and he'll bring good out of it, because that's what he does. But I do have a role to play in that.
Well, I can just tell that I'm going to be telling more stories.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, I think that you're right, that kids will tune in. They, you know, that's all television and social media and everything that they're so enraptured with is just stories. Mm-hmm. Somebody else telling them a story, and they are with all their heart. So, like, we can activate our intentionality around training, influencing, shaping the way our child should be going through that engagement. So I love being reminded how powerful stories are.
Mm-hmm. They are. That's great. I think I was meeting with Allison about my book, and she said, let's start this chapter with a story. She goes, because stories are really what help open people's hearts. Mm-hmm. That was what she was saying. And I'm like, I like that. I feel like that is a true...
Says the smartest influencer that I know.
Okay, this is going to prime them for what we're about to then teach them. Mm-hmm. Is this, we've got to first give that story. Mm-hmm. So before we end today, what would you tell parents? Like, give them one quick, you know, this is where to start with their being encouraged. If you've got an encouraging word or tips, how would you, or maybe just send them to the website? I don't know. What would you?
Oh, yeah, that would be my parting comment for sure. It's a very reasonable price product.
Step one, go to the website.
I think it's normal to feel ill-equipped. It's normal to feel out of depth. And you definitely feel that in parenting. Or maybe that's just me.
No. But that'd be just you. Yeah.
The only one.
And so I think recognize you have something to give, and it is you. Yeah. And so how do you give you, whether that's listening, whether that's telling a story, just being present in some way. Mm-hmm. But you have something to give. So
awesome. That's great. Well, Jules isn't on camera, but I would like to say thank you for just sharing your journey, your story. Yeah. I mean, it is such a power of testimony to be able to take what was something that was so painful or could be limiting to your life and turn it into a victory that you're giving away freely to generations. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reality, is that what you guys have stewarded and then built together is going to outlast you the most beautiful way. So, and you've got almost the whole world. We're waiting on South Africa.
Yes, come
but,
on,
South you know, every maybe or because South of the Africa. Kylo
they
show.
I really feel picked on today. It's because we love South Africa.
We just went to South Africa. I think they've given us quite a few questions, so they make up for it for sure. So, Dave, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lots of fun. I think we laughed the most on this show thus far.
It's easy to laugh with this guy.
I know. He's so much fun. So heartsmarttv.com is where they can find things for both parents and educators.
Yes.
And in the UK or the rest of the world and the United States.
Yes.
And you've got probably, that's where they can contact you if you've got further questions.
Exactly right, yeah. There's a little email address on there.
Okay.
Well, a normal email address, actually. Yeah. And
a big one. Yeah.
Actually quite large.
It's very powerful.
It's magical.
That's it. All right, well, I'm pretty sure that Dave is just helping us in this call and mission that we've got, that we're creating a movement that whole healthy families are going to save the world. So thank you for your partnership in that. And thanks so much for joining us on The Kylo Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armerding, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are going to save the world.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.